Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ryan Scott. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we have the pleasure of speaking with Benjamin P. Levy, MD, Associate Professor of Oncology, and Clinical Director of Medical Oncology at Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center of Sibley Memorial Hospital and Johns Hopkins Medicine. Dr. Levy joined us to talk about trastuzumab deruxtecan in HER2 mutant non-small cell lung cancer. On August 11, 2022, the FDA granted an accelerated approval to trastuzumab deruxtecan for adult patients with unresectable or metastatic non-small cell lung cancer whose tumors have activating HER2 mutations as detected by an FDA-approved test and who have received previous systemic therapy. The approval was based on findings from the randomized Phase 2 DESTINY-Lung02 trial, which showed that trastuzumab deruxtecan elicited a confirmed objective response rate of 58% and a median duration of response of 8.7 months. Regarding safety, the most common adverse effects that occurred in at least 20% of patients included decreased white blood cell count, hemoglobin, neutrophil count, lymphocyte count, platelet count, and albumin. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Levy discussed the significance of the FDA approval of trastuzumab deruxtecan in HER2 mutant non-small cell lung cancer, the pivotal efficacy and safety data from the DESTINY-Lung02 trial, and the optimal use of companion diagnostic tests in the field. Thank you so much again for agreeing to speak with me today on the FDA approval of trastuzumab deruxtecan and HER2 mutant non-small cell lung cancer. So to kick things off today, can you speak to the significance of the approval of trastuzumab deruxtecan for patients with HER2 mutant non-small cell lung cancer?
Yeah, this is exciting. It's yet another tool that we have in our therapeutic armamentarium to deliver personalized therapy for patients with non-small cell lung cancer. Specifically here, patients that have HER2 alterations. This is not a small subgroup of patients. It's about 2 to 5% of lung adenocarcinoma. Historically, we haven't been able to really drug this alteration, and we've got a very good drug now, an antibody drug conjugate with trastuzumab deruxtecan, which can elicit durable and meaningful responses. And so big change. HER2 alterations now the 10th biomarker. And lung adenocarcinoma that allows us to give another targeted therapy. What an exciting time to be in the field of lung cancer.
How do you see the approval affecting current practice patterns?
Well, I think the approval will obviously underscore, first of all, the importance of molecular testing. We can't give this drug or other drugs unless we identify the alteration. And so to give this drug, we need to test. And remember, historically, the HER2 mutations have not been druggable. We've been giving chemotherapy. We've been giving potentially even chemotherapy with immunotherapy. And again, we haven't had a lot of luck with other tyrosine kinase inhibitors or other monoclonal antibodies. So this is really, really exciting. And again, this also introduces for the first time an antibody drug conjugate into the field of therapeutics for non-small cell lung cancer. So number one, precision medicine in lung cancer wins again with trastuzumab deruxtecan. And number two, welcome to the field, antibody drug conjugates. This is going to create a lot of excitement about this class of drugs. And I think we will see more antibody drug conjugates come down the pike and be used in everyday practice for patients with lung cancer.
And then could you discuss the pivotal efficacy data from the Phase 2 DESTINY-Lung02 trial?
So the DESTINY-Lung02 study was a multi-center randomized phase 2 study of trastuzumab deruxtecan in patients with HER2 mutated non-small cell lung cancer who had had prior treatment. And they were looking at two different doses. They were looking at a 5.4 mg per kg Q3 week dose and a 6.4 mg per kg Q3 week dose respectively. And essentially the primary endpoint was objective response rate. And when they looked at the 52 patients in the primary efficacy population for those patients who got 5.4 mg per kg, The objective response rate was 58%, and the duration of response was 8.7 months. That's pretty remarkable. And so this is going to change the way that we treat patients. I think importantly, we can talk about efficacy, but we certainly need to mention tolerability. There were some adverse events noted, including laboratory abnormalities, nausea, decreased white blood cell count. And what we didn't see, however, is that the higher rates of interstitial lung disease. They're there, but they weren't as high as we saw in the 6.4 mg per kg dose. So this is, you know, very exciting for us. And yes, we need to be mindful of these new toxicities, but nevertheless, a new therapy that we can use for our patients with non-small cell lung cancer, specifically those that harbor HER2 mutations.
Given the agent's safety profile, are there certain patients you would shy away from using the agent in?
I don't think so. I think that this drug is exceptionally well tolerated. Clearly, patients with underlying interstitial lung disease, you want to be careful. I've had experience with this drug. It's, you know, reasonably well tolerated. Like any antibody drug conjugate, we need to be mindful of cytopenias, fatigue, nausea, derangements in liver function tests and cytopenias. But, you know, all in all, this is sort of emblematic of where we're heading in the field, which is that essentially we're giving better therapies that elicit more meaningful responses that are better tolerated. So this is very exciting, and this is kind of on par with what we're doing in advanced non-small cell lung cancer.
So looking at DESTINY-Lung02, was there anything that stood out to you about the findings or anything that surprised you that you'd like to highlight?
No, I think, again, that the objective response rate in this 5.4 mg per kg dose of 57% in these 52 patients, I think that's really meaningful. And the duration of response of 9 months, this is going to be important. I think also the tolerability. We saw a safety profile of this drug that was consistent with previous clinical trials. There were no new safety concerns identified. So, you know, I think that this is critical. To have, again, a drug that can elicit meaningful responses that are durable, and to offer our patients this, where historically, we really haven't been able to offer much. So this is very, very exciting for us. So I look forward to seeing how this is used.
And then moving forward, what are your thoughts on the companion diagnostic tests that have been greenlit, such as Oncomine DX Target Test and Guardant 360 CDX?
Yeah, I think, you know, the companion diagnostics are important, but the bottom line, as long as you're using a sophisticated, you know, contemporary next generation sequencing panel, I think that, again, this is important to use. And obviously liquid is extremely important. And that's really what I'd like to say is that essentially that you can't give this drug unless you test. A complete testing is predicated on good next generation sequencing testing, both in tissue and in liquid. So I think I would encourage everyone to make sure that they're doing both is extremely important. And if we can do both tissue and liquid, we are more likely to capture these HER2 alterations than we can give these drugs.
And then starting to close out our conversation today, what would you like to emphasize just based on everything we've talked about with the drug and the trial and everything in between?
You know, again, I think that this is just a testament to the science. It's a testament to all the hard work for the physicians, both clinically and translationally, to get a good drug to the patients who have HER2 alterations. And once again, this is the 10th biomarker we have for patients with advanced stage lung cancer that we can wed to a particular targeted therapy. Again, it's a testament to precision medicine, to personalized medicine. And I'm biased, but I think lung cancer is the poster child for precision medicine. And this is yet another drug can use for patients with specific alterations. Targeted therapies are really important for patients, and I think we've just begun to scratch the surface on how we leverage genotype-directed therapies for patients with specific alterations. We've got 10 biomarkers. My hope is within 5 years, we'll have another 5-10 biomarkers that we can use that drive decision-making for targeted therapy. I also think that combination approaches are going to be important. So yes, wedding these particular alterations to single agent drug are important, but again, having combination approaches are going to be important to advance the field.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.